There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Phone number and the text line, both the same number, 343-0106. And as I mentioned, going into the news, joined by Brady Petrie from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Not only do they have to, produce the content every day online and the paper every week, they have to do it in the middle of Mardi Gras. I mean, Brady, is it tough working there in the in Mardi Gras Central?
It poses its challenges for sure. The traffic obviously being the worst thing, just trying to get in and out of the office. But the way our office is situated, right there, kind of on that main route. It does provide some perks to getting some of the best spots for the parade. But no doubt, trying to get some content done when you know you've got a bag full of moon pies coming your way at the end of the day it can pose some challenges for sure.
Because I just get the fun part. I'll come down and visit y'all and then walk out to the parade and enjoy it. I'm like, but y'all are also work. Y'all got to, this is your office. I'm like, man, that's some temptation right there to goof off. But
it is.
So don't, listen, I'm going to go ahead and give you a pass. I mean, it's Mardi Gras. Tell Rob I said that. Yeah.
I'll definitely tell him that you said that.
Good. That probably won't help you. But, hey, a lot to talk about that I'm looking at right now over at lanyapmobile.com. This is the saga of sagas, and at least maybe there's another chapter here. Headline, State Cannabis Commission opens lab testing application window. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean? Is it moving finally? What is happening?
Moving, that seems to be a generous term, just given the way the Medical Cannabis Commission has really handled things over the past couple of years since it was legalized in 21. This is one of those, I don't know if I'd call it a crucial step towards everything kind of getting solved with the Cannabis Commission, but it is interesting that they are opening the window for these state laboratories to really, test and vet the medical marijuana that's going to be sold to patients that need it. And I thought it was interesting, with these integrated facilities, there was a huge dust up months back about how they're only issuing, 5 facilities licenses throughout the state. And I thought it was interesting that they're not putting any kind of limitation on the number of licenses they hand out for the laboratories. So, I know there was a company down in Foley who announced their intent to build a laboratory there in Baldwin County. And I'm, obviously imagine they'll be applying for one of those licenses as well. But I thought it was interesting that they're saying, hey, there's only so many facilities that can actually grow medical marijuana. But when it comes to testing it, it's just a free for all. We can have as many labs as we want.
Yeah.
So.
Which, I mean, that'd be, obviously the market, maybe I wish the market could figure out all of this, not just that part of it with the testing. But yeah, if you only have so many people growing it, you could open a lab and you could have like the Maytag repairman sitting there with nothing to test.
Right, exactly. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Cannabis Commission does over the next year or so, because I feel as though, and this is this is just my personal feelings, but I kind of feel as though some of the public may have some kind of fatigue over this whole medical cannabis thing, just because it's been very slow to develop. And, there's been so much controversy around it, but
you're very understated.
Need it,
you're understated on this.
I try to understate it as much as possible there. But no, I mean, obviously for the patients that need it, you know, they're wanting to see this whole process really get moving. And it has just been, you know, one slow trog after the other. And but it is good to see that they are taking some steps to hopefully get this moving.
Okay, so. But we got the testing, Brady. But like you said, you got only so many people in the mix here, and the lawsuits and, you know, vertical integration or singular, you know, that that's not been put to bed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's still all kinds of steps that they have to go through. And I mean, these lawsuits, they're going to be around. They're not going to move fast by any measure. And until those get resolved, like you said, there's not going to be any kind of real significant movement. And, you know, if you're a patient who is waiting for medical marijuana to be, you know, to fully get going here in the state, I mean, it has to be brutal to sit back and watch, you know, these lawsuits take effect and, you know, the Cannabis Commission kind of drag its feet, you know, so to speak. And so I'm very hopeful that in the next year or so we'll see some significant movement. But like you said, given the fact that, you know, it hasn't moved fast and given the commission's history, it seems to be more wishful thinking than anything.
Yeah, I mean, my frustration with this has been, you know, I've been in this mix for a long time. I had Senator Melson on my show back when he just had an idea about what he was going to do, when he just had an idea about it. And then to go from there to the fact that we're all these years later and people still don't have what they were told 3-4 years ago they were going to get. It's a fail.
It is. I would agree with that. It is a fail up to this point. And I mean, you know, at what point, you know, if you need it, at what point do you just kind of give up and go elsewhere?
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're, how much, you know, pain can you tolerate? How much, you know, discomfort can you tolerate before you finally just say, you know what, I'm tired of, you know, all the entities really dragging their feet and not seemingly caring about, you know, my condition, and I'm just going to go elsewhere and try to solve my whatever ailments I have, you know, through medical marijuana. And that's a really unfortunate situation, but it's just, you know, the reality of it.
All right, let's switch to municipal level here and what's going on in the mayoral cycle or the hopeful mayoral cycle. We got enough for a basketball team plus one. You're at six, right?
I believe we're up to six official.
And I think we're going to make a football team by the time I think we'll have 11 by the time it's over. But go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're wanting to throw your hat into the ring, I can round up a couple more and we can just scrimmage sometime this weekend, you know, if you want to.
But so we got to, yeah, so this is, and, you know, I thought more people would come out before Christmas, but, you know, we had Connie Hudson announce and that, but I think it does, like, politically maybe make sense to be on the record now before Deep Grawl gets started, because I'm, just from straight politics, it's kind of a built-in audience. You go to Mardi Gras and you shake hands, kiss babies, and say you're running for mayor.
Right. Yeah. And it's like you, I believe you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, it makes sense if you're wanting to be a candidate to get that announcement out there, you know, before Mardi Gras. Cause, I mean, like you said, during Mardi Gras, everybody else's focus is on the parades and the balls and everything else going on. And you know, your announcement may be swept under the rug. And especially like you said, when you get into Deep Grawl, which we're pretty much in right now, you know, and it's going to be hard to really make any noise, you know, if you go out and announce now. And plus, you know, if you wait until after Mardi Gras, you really only have a window of about 9 to 10 days to really announce and file your campaign, because you have to be filed 90 days before the election. And I believe that is around March 14th or 15th, somewhere around there. So, I mean, you have to be, you know, registered and living in the city, have all of your, you know, irons in the fire, so to speak, before that 90-day window. And if you're waiting to announce it until after Deep Grawl, you're really cutting it close. And meanwhile, you've still got, you know, the six candidates that have announced already and potentially a seventh coming that have already gotten, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months head start on you.
Yeah, I can pick up all the clues you just dropped and ask you if we're talking about this person that kind of gave y'all a pretty much, I'm not going to say yet, but maybe yes, and talking about moving and, you know, getting your residency. So, former police chief Paul Prine, your thoughts on this? I mean, y'all, it seems like more than 50-50. I mean, in his comments to y'all?
That's the way it felt like. Okay. And you know, he wouldn't, you know, go on the record and say, you know, one way or the other. And, you know, he kind of laid it out there as, you know, I'm still praying about it. I'm still thinking about it, talking it over. But he said, you know, he's, quote, strongly considering it. And you know, and it's like I said on our podcast yesterday, you know, you don't go out there and say that you're, publicly that you're strongly considering something if you plan to announce a month later that you're not running. So,
right.
You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. So I'm of the belief right now that he is going to join the race. And like you said, there are a couple of things that, you know, he would have to do. Number one, have to move into the city. I believe I live in Sarah Land now, so he would have to move into the city limits to run. And then also, you know, very publicly known that he has a lawsuit against the city, and not sure how that really plays into his candidacy. And, you know, if he were to get elected, how does that play out? Those are still questions we're trying to answer. But I do think that he is going to announce his intent to run unless something drastic changes. I think we're going to have at least seven candidates, if not more.
Yeah, I don't know what the campaign would sound like, but I'm just guessing here. And as I've talked to, let's say, I know three of them, that the discussion has been, hey, Mayor Stimson did a great job. I want to continue that, or I want to advance, you know, something to that effect, right?
Right.
But if you talk about a candidate that might be different than that narrative, it would be somebody who has a lawsuit against the city, right? I mean, hey, I'm going to continue the legacy of.
Right, and I think that's going to be the fascinating part of this cycle, especially if you know, candidates like Brian jump into the mix. It's going to be interesting to see if the national voting trends and national politic trends really, you know, kind of trickle its way down to the local level. Are people, you know, going to want the continuity, you know, that some candidates may bring of wanting to really stick with what the Stimson administration has done and really kind of continue that trend? Or are they going to just want to go in the completely opposite direction and just have somebody else that's fresh and new but may not have as much, you know, experience in politics? I think that's going to be one of the more fascinating aspects of this race. And, you know, for somebody like Pryne, I mean, talk about his campaign strategy, he's pretty much said as much that he's going to focus on crime. That is going to be his number one topic that he is going to bring up during his campaign. And, you know, you have a lot of different people with kind of their hands on law enforcement. You've got Lawrence Matisse, who's a former police chief, who's also running. You've got Spiro Chariagotis, who was a district judge. So you've got a lot of people that you know, kind of currently have their fingers on the pulse of you know, crime in Mobile. And it's going to be interesting to see how that really kind of divvies up, if it splits the vote at all for those who, you know, crime is the number one factor, or if there's one favorable candidate or another. It's too early to say, but I do think it's going to be interesting to watch from that aspect.
Brady, people want to read the stories we just talked about and a whole lot more. I mean, they're online right now. How do they get subscribed?
Yeah, just go to lanyapmobile.com at $6.50 a month, and we are, I mean, constantly putting out stories, you know, all the time. So go subscribe. It is one of the best values that you can get here in the Port City, and you can also pick up any of our papers at our purple boxes throughout Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Always good, Brady. I appreciate it, and I'm going to be sitting at your desk with eating a moon pie soon.
Hey, come on by. We'll split a blueberry moon pie on me.
Excellent. There he goes, Brady Petrie, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, to 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Heads up here. So, I thought about this the other day. So I talk about my buddy Clint Jameson. He has Adventure Earth bicycles with electric bikes and non-electric bikes. I talk about, two and a half years ago now, getting back into riding bicycles here in my 50s because of the e-bike. I mentioned about the exercise. I mentioned about all the different things I like to do with it. Maybe I haven't mentioned the reason I keep going to. It's fun. It's fun to ride. I mean, the e-bikes, yeah, you could use them in all electric, and they're fun to ride that way. I use them just with an assist mode, so I get the exercise, but it makes getting the exercise fun. It's just, There's something, if you hadn't done it in a long time, riding the dang bike down there, it's fun. I don't know. It just takes me back, man. And right now, he's got the spring sale in full swing right now with e-bikes and what he calls, what my buddy calls Amish bikes, so non-e-bikes, all marked down 30% off. So that includes on the electric side, the Denagos, the Magnums, the Fujis, the Jameis, they got the Jameis gravel bikes, which is, that's kind of what I see Clint riding too. He's a you know, kind of a road biker from way back. I told you I've known this guy forever, and he's been into bikes and exercise and all that since I ever first met him. But because of traffic and those issues, if you're somebody that has ridden like a road bike on the, you know, on the paved road, and now you're like, man, it's just, there's too much and too much danger out there. A lot of people are taking to riding dirt roads and gravel roads. And so there are these bikes, Jameis and other manufacturers he has, they have a, they're somewhere in between. They're kind of built like a road bike, but they have a tire that can handle gravel and all that. So that's what he and his riding crew are riding on. I see them out my way, out in West Mobile County. They're pretty cool bikes. So if you're somebody who's had been riding a road bike for a long time for exercise and said, man, I'm ready to get off the pavement and where all the cars are, check out the gravel bikes for riding dirt roads, and you get those same kind of big rides. You just do it on dirt and gravel. He also reminded me to remind y'all, you know, don't have to remind me, turkey season's on the way. Of course, coming up next month. He says he's got the Fat Tire Denago hunting e-bikes ready to go for turkey season. They already have the handlebar mounted gun racks on them and an optional rear fishing rack rod mount. He said, so Sean, you can sneak up on turkeys and go fishing. So check it out. In person's the most fun to go because he's got a big selection of all these bikes and all the accessories that go on them. Plus, I've mentioned it's a good old-fashioned bike shop, too. You need repairs done, all that. They're doing it right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. Say, go in the shop. If you want to do a little touring beforehand, I get it, go online, adventure-earth.com. You can see some of these bicycles I've been talking about, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get all of us outside. All right, do we have time for, yeah, we have time for a couple texts here. Let's see. Mr. Plot. What's up, Mr. Plot? Said, a row of tomatoes, a roll of potatoes, some okra, and a couple rows of stuff. That's just your business. Heck, who knows? Maybe Bill can put it on his planting wheel somewhere. We're talking about gardening stuff. I don't know. That's the planting with the Bill Finch planting wheel. You might have to do something. We hadn't given those away in a while. If you know, right? If you know what I'm talking about, you're like, oh yeah, those things are cool. If you don't, maybe we'll get some pictures put back up with that thing and see if we start giving those things away again. They're really cool. They're so my man Bill Finch, playing gardening for Alabama. The gardening wheel just shows you a circle, and throughout the year, not only what you should be, this is what I like about Bill's planting wheel, and Mr. Plot, you can probably agree, it doesn't show you just like, okay, you should be planting this now. It's do this stuff right now to get ready to plant these vegetables in 2 weeks or a month. You know, it's like the prep work. And also what's growing right then. It's really useful. Speaking of which, I brought in, and I just barely gave the crop a haircut, but I had to get blankets over the, sheets over the collards last night. I brought in two big old bags. So Dalton, that's what those are back there. If you want two big old bags of collards back there, and I still have major collard tonnage if it doesn't get frozen tonight. Dr. Bill says we could go mid-20s. Out there, so I'll be covering them back up tonight. But yeah, I've got collards now and a little bit of lettuce. But I'm ready for tomatoes. I'm big time. Michael says giving away Bill Finch's planting wheel would rival Mason Hill's gift card for competition. Maybe just do both of them. I was talking to my buddy Joey Mason, Mason Hill's Farm, the other day. They got so many cool things going on there. We're gonna get him back on soon to talk more about that. All right, when we come back at 343-0106, we'll get your text. Also, let's talk about this Gulf of America bill. Now, I know it's like it's clickbait. It's chasing a tennis ball out there for national media. But at a state level, this is what makes me difficult. Sean's prickly. It's just like when they want to introduce a bill in the legislature like to ban Sharia law in Alabama. I'm like, well, there's not a lot of Sharia law going on. Do we need, with all the stuff going on in Alabama right now, do we need the legislature spending time to say, yeah, us too. Yeah, we're down with the Gulf of America. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And skid steers, like, it's... they're very useful. They're also one of the most fun pieces of equipment I've ever run.
they are that, for sure.
I mean, they're the amount of work you get done with them. You know, I had used one Kubota skid steer for about, I don't know, 15 days this summer and got an amazing amount of work done. So let's talk about what y'all have in stock for skid steers and mini X's too.
Well, right now we're stocked up pretty good on them right now. We've been getting a few truckloads in this week of them. Of the open cabs and the enclosed cabs in the standard flow and in the high flow. My personal favorite is going to be the high flow enclosed cabs. And we've been getting quite a few of those new 75-3s, the SVL 97s, and the SVL 65 high flow cabs as well. We've got all the implements right now in stock. So if you're looking for grapples, pallet forks, rotary mulchers, cutters, whatever you're looking for with them, the post hole diggers, we've got all of that in stock for these skid steers right now, as well as the mini excavators.
Okay.
All qualify for the zero interest financing, just like everything else through Kubota right now.
And if somebody said, okay, I hear Blaine talking, I hear Sean talking, I think I want one, but I'm not going to commit till I really see if they're on it. Can you rent these?
We do have these in rental as well. So the popular ones in our rental fleet are going to be the SVL 75-3s, the high-flow cabs with the rotary cutters on those. It's a high-ticket item that a lot of people like. And some guys just want to go to the hunt camp for the weekend or do some one-time work around their property. They don't want to buy one, and that's the perfect opportunity for them just to rent it one time, whether it be for a week, a month, or just a couple days.
Yeah, if y'all have seen how much fun kids have when you rent a jumpy thing, whatever those things are called, for a birthday party, do the grown-up version of it and rent a skid steer,
absolutely,
high flow, see what that's real fun.
It is fun, especially the enclosed cab with that heat and AC. No matter what the weather's like, you'll be comfortable in it.
I love them, man. All right, so let's talk about to take advantage of these, whether they're looking at a rental or looking at buying a new one and getting that 0% finance. And how do they find you?
We're right here in the middle of Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Yeah, and if people want to, like, look around what's going on over there, too, y'all's website, right? I mean, that's what I'll go look at, what you have in stock.
Go check out our website at parrishtractor.com. We got our new stuff on there, but we also got our pre-owned inventory on there as well, all of our trade-ins. It's a wide variety. It could be lawnmowers, side-by-sides, mini excavators, you know, tractors, a little bit of everything there, even some implements on there. So definitely go and check out our website at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes. Let's go a couple things. Actually, I think I have three or four things going on in Montgomery for us to talk about. The first one here is the Gulf of America bill. So this story from Kyle Hamrick over at LandNetMobile.com. So the bill recognizing the Gulf of America and Alabama will head to the Alabama House of Representatives for voting, despite Democratic lawmakers questioning the effort's necessity. Okay, here's one of those occasions that I agree with the Democrat lawmakers. It's not very often, but it said last week, Representative David Standridge, Republican out of Hayden, Alabama, introduced the bill that would require all local and state entities to refer to the body of water that touches Alabama and four other southern states as the Gulf of America. I like it. It's like it would require. Like, I don't know if it's just in print or saying it. Like, you have somebody come in and go, you must say Gulf of America. This, of course, off the move federally when President Trump signed the executive order directing the Department of Interior to rename the body of water, known for more than 400 years as the Gulf of Mexico in federal documents, which, by the way, we talked about this early on. It's not Mexico the country. I mean, Mexico the country took its name from the same settlement, but it was a settlement on the Gulf of a group of people that were, I think, Mexical or something. So that's where it got its name. I'm not bothered by the change of the name from President Trump. What gets me is, do we need to do this? I mean, this is just the rah, rah, rah stuff. It's the us too. And listen, there are a lot of people signed on to it. I'm sure the pressure would be, you know, if I was an elected representative and I'd say, come on, y'all, they'd like, well, people are going to think you oppose Trump. I'm like, I don't oppose Trump. I just oppose us wasting time on this when we need to be dealing with veterans issues, budgets, schools, all those things. But no, it's out there. It said the legislation would require all government bodies and agencies in Alabama to refer to the Gulf as the Gulf of America in their maps, documents, educational materials, website, official communications, and other publications. However, those groups would not have to update their references if doing so would, quote, impose an undue burden, meaning significant difficulty or expense. Okay, so this is going to be one of these laws that we didn't need passed that really has no teeth either. They did this some years ago, many years ago. They're like, well, we're going to move this bill to ban Sharia law in the state of Alabama. And I said, I don't want Sharia law in the state of Alabama either, but we're not at a crux point with this. I mean, there's other stuff to do here. Said the list here of representatives that signed on here, Alan Baker, Brett Easterbrook, Jennifer Fidler, Donna Givens, Francis Hulk Jones signed the bill's early draft as co-sponsors, along with House Speaker Pro Tem Chris Pringle and 51 other lawmakers. It says, during the meeting of the House's Ports and Waterway Committee on Wednesday afternoon, Representative Rhonda Hollis, Democrat out of Birmingham, told Standridge, the Gulf's name cannot be changed without a consensus from the international community. I may disagree with that part of it. She said the bill should not have been filed because it distracts from more important issues like hunger and homelessness. Well, we can all fill in what we think the more important issues are, but I would agree with the representative. It does distract from other issues. Says Hollis went on to say, we need to be addressing other stuff to help our people. I think this is really a waste of our time. Representative Adeline Clark from here, Mobile, Democrat from Mobile, said Trump already executed the order recognizing the Gulf by its name and asked why the Alabama legislature should pass a bill into law that does the same thing. Once again, I agree with the Democrat. Representative Lipscomb out of Gadsden said a bill enforcing the recognition of the Gulf's new name would be more effective than a resolution. So there we go. This is what we're talking about. So it's just, once again, you could say, well, if you don't believe in that, then you're getting, no, you could be for Trump and just say, hey, on Goat Hill, they need to be doing other stuff. Speaking of things they're doing and not doing, we got a veterans going up next week to show their, what's the right word? How do I cage this correctly? Their protest to the ADVA changes that have been proposed here, that passed through the Senate, now going into the House. They're going up next week, and we'll talk about that next week. Plus, Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia is going to be on with us on Monday to talk more about that. So that's going on. You might want to say, you know, get some questions about, maybe if they just went and had a new bill to figure out how to unjam this medical marijuana thing, they could do that too. Work on that. They did move some bills today. I see a couple here on the gun side. This from Craig Monger over at 1819 News. Said two Democrat-led bills stalled during committee meetings yesterday. One bill was delayed a third time while Republicans voted down the other. First up was HB 103, which is carried by State Representative Barbara Drummond from here in Mobile. Of course, you heard that name here recently in our list of hopefuls for Mobile, right? But currently a representative. So the first bill here from Barbara Drummond said the bill would provide a criminal penalty against a parent or legal guardian when their minor child, quote, unlawfully possesses a firearm on the premises of a public school as a result of a parent or legal guardian's failure to reasonably secure the firearm, end quote. And we talked about this a month or so ago, when, you know, during the pre-filing. So said the bill defines a reasonably secure storage as storing a firearm using a trigger lock or in a locked box or gun safe that requires a key, numerical or alphanumeric combination, or fingerprint to open, end quote. So this would be the child shows up at school with the gun, possesses a firearm at a public school, and then the parent would be, it said, they would, penalty for violating the bill would be a Class A misdemeanor carrying up to a one-year sentence and a $6,000 fine. So the bill ultimately failed the House Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee, with nearly every Republican opposing the measure and every Democrat supporting it. There we go. There you go, Montgomery. The vote was conducted by unanimous yeas and nays, making a precise vote tally impossible. Craig goes on to write, Democratic lawmakers touted the measure as a common sense solution to prevent anything from mass shootings to careless discharges in cases where a student has brought a parent's firearm to school. However, Republicans took issue with the compulsory nature of the bill and the vicarious punishing of a parent for a crime of their child. You know, that brings up, that's come up on a lot of things, right? Should the parents be held accountable for fill in the blank that the kids do? I mean, there is some precedent. I'm not saying it would relate to Second Amendment stuff, but there's a precedent, like if the kid doesn't go to school, there's, you know, truancy wise, it comes back on the parents. But how, I mean, how would this be enforceable? Like, I disagree with the bill, but I mean, I'm just trying to do the, how would this be enforceable? You're going to go back to the house and see how the kid got into the gun? Speaking of, I said bills, plural, later yesterday, HB 58, which is was carried by State Rep Chris England out of Tuscaloosa, Democrat out of Tuscaloosa, would add criminal penalties to certain aspects of the state's permitless carry law. Now, this one is going to probably bring up some more debate. In 2022, legislature passed a law allowing lawful residents of the state to carry a firearm on their person or in vehicle without a permit. Remember, we talked about this ad nauseum. The 2022 law created an obligation for citizens to inform a law enforcement officer of the presence of a firearm on their person or vehicle, often called a duty to declare. Now, I think there are some people that knew that the, you know, the permitless carry existed, but they didn't know this other part. Like, if you're pulled over, you have to, even though you don't have to have a concealed carry permit anymore, which is something that those of us that have concealed carry permits have done. You know, if you hand over your driver's license to the officer, you hand over your, you know, your concealed carry permit if as a way, and they'd say, is there a firearm in the car? Yes. Or you could be like me and say, there's not a firearm, there's firearms, in plural, in the car. So this amendment here, HB 58, would make violating the duty to declare provision a Class A misdemeanor. And see, what this is from England here, from Representative England. If you believe in the law as passed before, I think what he's trying to do here is saying, okay, if you're going to have that in the law, then there needs to be a penalty. And what he's saying in this case, this, I guess this segment is Sean agrees with Democrats in Montgomery. It's only one segment a year. He makes a good point. When that law was passed and the Republicans voted for it, as part of this permitless carry, they said, okay, well, with this, you have a duty to declare. I mean, this is the law. So, but there's no penalty if you don't. Which we've seen, if we've passed laws in the state that didn't have penalty, they get removed on challenge in the Supreme Court, Alabama Supreme Court. So I kind of, what he's doing is, he's semantically accurate. Said HB 58 would make violating the duty to declare provision a Class A misdemeanor. The bill appeared in the House Judiciary Committee's calendar since the session began earlier this month. However, on February 5th, during the committee's first meeting, Chairman Jim Hill, a Republican out of Moody, motioned to carry the bill over with the intent of voting on the legislation the following week. However, the vote was also delayed the following week. So they keep delaying and carrying this over. But once again, they passed the law for permitless carry and said, okay, as part of this permitless carry, then you get pulled over, you have a duty to declare that you have a gun to the officer. They can't take it or whatever, but you have a duty to declare. But they didn't. I mean, I don't know how. I'm just some hayseed from Mobile, and I see them doing this stuff. Like, why don't y'all put the penalty in there so it doesn't get challenged in court down the road. But there you go. So that Sean agrees with Democrats a little bit, the one segment a year, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Let's see. Some text Trump here to get to. Let's see. Yeah, so it says, Susan said, no, Sean, don't you need a concealed carry so you'll be licensed in a reciprocal state? That's true, but you don't need it in the state, right? So that's the change. You don't need it in the state of Alabama. You need it. Yeah, listen, I am a concealed carry permit holder still for that reason. Plus, if you do the smaller increment, if you do the lifetime, it all goes to the general fund. Get the drain, whatever, draining down the toilet sound. But if you do the smaller increments, some of that money still goes back to your local sheriff's department, which is something I think is good. But yes, you also need it if I had a gun, Susan. I did, and I was going to drive, you know, across state lines, then I still have to have that concealed carry permit for traveling with that concealed carry that weapon. So, somebody had asked about this Hanceville Police Department. We hadn't had time today. Probably try to get more of this on tomorrow's show. But if these allegations are true, with some of these pictures I've seen about this evidence room where they had a hole in the wall where the dispatcher could get like drugs that they had put in the, I mean, this is beyond egregious. If what they said was going on in the Hanceville Police Department up there, north of Birmingham, if this was true, with like having cops that are not just dirty, but like in the business of selling the drugs and all this, as much as I support law enforcement, in this case, absolutely throw the book at them. Throw the book at them. I mean, I don't know if you followed it. I mean, you've got charges here of computer tampering, using office for personal gain, tampering with evidence, solicitations to commit a controlled substance crime. In other words, taking drugs out of an evidence room and like then be in the business of selling them. Tampering with evidence. One of these four counts of unlawful distribution of a controlled substance and two counts of conspiracy to unlawfully. We'll talk about this in depth tomorrow because there's a lot to the stories and reports coming out. But they got to be shut down. This police department, they got to hold. If these charges are true, all those people got to go. They got to go. Yeah, so somebody was asking me about that earlier. That's a egregious. The cops I know, the cops I'm buddies with, they dislike bad cops more than you do. I mean, think about it. It reflects on their job as well. Once again, you are innocent until proven guilty. But if proven guilty, throw the book at them. Look at it. That reminded me, too, speaking of people in law enforcement, a friend of mine y'all may have heard of before when he comes on the show, John Young, from Men United Against Violence, is going to join me on tomorrow's show. One of the things we're going to talk about, so be ciphering on this one, okay? So, like, and I don't know if it'll happen tonight at the polka dots, but you'll see it at a parade sometime between now and the conclusion on Fat Tuesday, that one of the dance troupe, there'll be a dance troupe come through with young ladies, girls, kids. And the dance moves aren't reflective of their age. Put it that way, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you'll see, you'll go, okay. And listen, I'm a red-blooded American male, and if it's a college or older, you know, I mean, you're like, okay, well, that's something. Wow. You see those same dance moves from a 9-year-old, it's disgusting. I agree with my friend on this, and he's got a proposition for the citizens of Mobile and people who attended Mardi Gras, something to do to show if you have displeasure in that, like I do and like he does, what to do to say, to signal that, hey, we don't think this is all right. We don't need girls, not even young ladies or girls, kids, dancing like this. So that'll be part of our discussion tomorrow. So prepare yourself, prepare your opinions, because, you know, John's got his, and they're always pretty dang strong. So he'll be in talking about that on tomorrow's Midday Mobile. So prep yourself for it. Right, another reminder, too, just as I close out today, the app. Y'all been downloading the app. I appreciate that. If you haven't yet, join the in crowd and grab the FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free. And my motivation is it just lets you listen to the station more often, which I like. Right? Stream the station, get our podcast on there, show schedules on there. Use the talkback feature. It's all on one place, like a digital multi-tool right there on your phone. So the FM Talk 106.5 app at Google Play or the App Store. Paul Feinbaum takes over next.